This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 26th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a closer look at where that Thanksgiving dinner came from. Not just the kitchen, not just the grocery store. We'll also get a forecast for the holiday weekend from Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. It was just over a year ago when George Ryan began serving his 6.5-year federal prison sentence. Amanda Vinicky reports on the possibility the former Illinois governor may get help in his fight to get out early.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says he's considering writing a letter to President Bush, asking him to grant Ryan clemency. Durbin, a Democrat, says neither Bush nor Ryan asked him to do so, but he says he's reviewing Ryan's case and will then decide if he'll intervene.
To say that he is paid a price for his wrongdoing, he certainly has. And the question is whether continued imprisonment is appropriate at this point.
Durbin says he's only considering asking for a commutation, which would allow Ryan to end his prison term, and not a pardon, which would virtually erase Ryan's conviction. Ryan, who's 74, was found guilty of corruption that included steering state contracts to his political cronies. The Republican is serving time at a federal prison in Indiana. President Bush recently granted 14 people pardons. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Legislation designed to speed up state government's payment of bills could come up for an Illinois Senate vote during the veto session in January. That bill sat in the Illinois Senate Rules Committee for months after its passage in the House earlier this year, but last week it gained several new Democratic co-sponsors, including Mike Frerichs of Champaign and Executive Committee Chairman Ira Silverstein. That's encouraging news to Decatur area Democrat Bob Flyder, who sponsored the bill in the House. He says if it passes, it'll force the governor to pay off old bills before embarking on new spending programs, or else force him to find new revenue sources for those programs.
Whether it's short-term borrowing, whether it's additional appropriations, whether it's new revenue enhancements, whatever it is, before new programs can be created, this legislation would force the governor and the administration to acknowledge we have passed due bills before creating any new programs.
Flyder says the measure would require overdue bills to be included in the governor's budget proposal to the General Assembly, and the state would start paying interest penalties on overdue bills after 30 years instead of 60, as it does currently. Planning work on a park-and-ride childcare facility in downtown Champaign could get the go-ahead today from the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit Board. The planning work could lead to a major addition to Illinois Terminal in a strategy meant to get more people to use mass transit. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
If you expand Champaign-Urbana's main bus terminal to include a daycare center and a new parking deck, parents could drive up, park their cars, drop their kids off at daycare, and take the bus the rest of the way to work. Commuters would spend more time on the bus and less time in their cars, resulting in lower traffic congestion. That's the theory behind the park-and-ride proposal. CU Mass Transit District Managing Director Bill Volk says the idea was first proposed years ago for other locations before they considered the Illinois Terminal building.
I think the need is still there for daycare, and there's certainly the need for park and ride and the need for bus riders to be able to access quality daycare in the downtown and on their way to the university, I think is, you know, it's still valid.
The CU Mass Transit Board could vote today on spending mostly federal funds plus some City of Champaign money to hire a firm to do preliminary planning for the project. The Champaign City Council would take its vote next week. Officials are counting on federal earmarks to help pay for the project's eventual construction. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The city of Champaign will fight this winter's snow and ice with less salt than last year. The city's paying 47% more for road salt this year than last, and officials are taking steps to cut down on how much they use. Operations manager Tom Hsu told the Champaign City Council last night that all primary routes will still be salted, although salt dispersal will be more carefully controlled. He says other streets will not receive salt, except for certain spots like intersections, hills, and sharp curves.
This is a fairly dramatic service level change. Secondary streets, cul-de-sacs, dead-end streets, those should be expected to be snow-packed, and they would be snow-packed for an extended period of time, basically until a natural melting occurred and removed the snowpack from those surfaces if we do this.
Hsu said motorists should prepare for a rougher ride and more slick spots on those streets. Despite cutting back on road salt, the city is promising to clear all of its streets after snowfalls. Officials admit they overlooked a couple of streets during a major storm last year, but vowed not to make that mistake again. The goal is to clear Champaign's 7 primary routes within 12 hours after a moderate snowstorm of less than 4 inches of accumulation. The coming holiday weekend will mean more state troopers out on the roads on both sides of the Illinois-Indiana border. The two state police agencies are cooperating on a project to curb speeding, aggressive or drunk driving, and other offenses along Interstate 74. Troopers will also check for seatbelt use. Sergeant Kim Riley is with the Indiana State Police in Lafayette. He says if you think you're safe from an officer's pursuit by crossing the state border, you'd be wrong.
If a pursuit or if a chase continues and the other department does not wish to get involved in it, they can back off and not be involved in that. But the officer can pursue the vehicle into the other states.
This is the second time Illinois and Indiana State Police have put a concentrated effort on I-74 this year. A consumer watchdog group is warning parents to remain vigilant when shopping for toys this holiday season. Illinois' Public Interest Research Group says a number of them still contain dangerous levels of lead and toxic chemicals called phthalates. PIRG's field associate, Alexandra Lozanoff, says there's been an effort to change that. Congress is now responding to a series of recalls and now telling the Consumer Product Safety Commission to remove such toys from shelves. But that law won't take effect until February, and Lozanoff says there's no guarantee the toys still won't be in stores after that.
Last week, the CPSC issued an opinion and told companies that they could continue selling toys laden with toxic phthalate chemicals until they ran out. Instead of complying with the law's clear prohibition against selling these toys after February 10, 2009.
Illinois PIRG has released its 23rd annual Trouble in Toyland report, noting that more than 80,000 kids under the age of 5 in the U.S. were hospitalized with toy-related injuries last year. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Turkey, stuffing, and pumpkin pie are just a few of the foods that can be found on Thanksgiving Day dinner tables. People put in hours of time cooking and preparing the big meal, but probably don't put much thought into where all that food came from. Well, a librarian at Western Illinois University did give it some thought and mapped it out. Illinois Public Radio's Julie Root has the story.
Linda Zellmer's maps show that green beans, for example, are grown primarily in Wisconsin, while carrots come from California and Washington. In fact, Zellmer says most Thanksgiving foods come from all over the United States.
Turkeys are produced primarily in Minnesota and North Carolina. Cranberries, the highest producing state for cranberries, is Wisconsin, followed by Massachusetts and Washington State. Pecans are generally grown in the South. A lot of things are grown in California because that's like the breadbasket of the United States. And it varies from place to place as far as the other ingredients for a typical Thanksgiving dinner.
When you were doing this project, did you find any foods from Illinois that people use in their Thanksgiving meal?
Illinois produces a lot of sweet corn. Several people have asked why Illinois isn't higher in corn, and that's partly because a lot of our corn is field corn that's used for a lot of different things like animal feed and ethanol production. The one thing I was surprised about the most was that Michigan is a big celery producer. I didn't expect to see that, and it surprised me quite a bit.
Now, how much time did you put into this type of research?
A lot of the data is available through the National Agricultural Statistics Service, which is a website that delivers all kinds of statistical agricultural data. They do the Census of Agriculture every 5 years, and so it takes less than an hour to download the data for the maps. It takes a little more time to do the maps because you have to format the data to use with the geographic information system. And then since there's 14 or 15 different maps, it takes quite a while to create the maps and set up the color and that type of stuff.
Now, you mentioned the GIS system. How did you use that system to map out all the Thanksgiving foods and where they come from?
A geographic information system is a computer system that, or a computer software package that can be used to combine data with geographic information. And you can map all types of information. With a GIS, you can combine any kind of statistical data with geographic boundary data to show the quantity of foods produced in a particular area. A lot of different things can be shown using a GIS.
That is Linda Zelmer. She is the Government and Data Services Librarian at Western Illinois University. Zelmer came up with the idea for Thanksgiving food tracking maps so teachers could use them as tools to keep students engaged in learning the week before Thanksgiving. I'm Julie Root.
For the most part, in the two-state area, travel should be fairly easy if you just take the weather into consideration. Our chief meteorologist, Ted Kieser, says today will be mostly sunny with highs from 41 in northeast Indiana to 54 in southwest Illinois, 47 in Champaign-Urbana today. A clear night in front of us tonight, lows from 23 in northwest Illinois to 31 in the far south and in Chicago. It'll be 28 for the low in Champaign-Urbana. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 48 in east central Illinois, 42 in northeast Indiana, 55 in southwest Illinois. Thanksgiving night should see partly to mostly cloudy skies and a low of 27. For Friday, intervals of clouds and sun, the high 43. Saturday, sunny and 45. Maybe some more clouds Saturday night and into Sunday. A chance of light snow developing after midnight Saturday into Sunday. And the high by Sunday, only 34 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.